Yeah, sometimes I this doesn't happen all the time, really not. But sometimes I have a sense when I'm somewhere and I'm thinking I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world right now with anybody else. This is just perfect. And that is what I feel right now. I feel I wouldn't want to be anywhere else with anybody else. This is just perfect. So thank you for the privilege. And before I share the word, I hope you slept well, those who were here, well, everybody, but also those who were here yesterday. We were tired, so we had visions of going to bed immediately when we got home, and I think we went to bed at 11:30 or something. So, you know, when you visit friends and you mix it with work or ministry, you are always exhausted because you try to fit everything in. but it's so good to be here. And I just feel that I want to share this with you before I share this word, the word that, you know, in October 1995, I was 20 years old. I was battling in my life, but I was battling often, like perhaps many of us did in our lives or do. And I went to a church. Somebody invited me, and I don't know why I went. It must have been the Holy Spirit, because at that stage I didn't really like churches. And it was a week of like an outreach, and I went on the Monday evening and the Tuesday evening and the Wednesday evening. And on the Thursday evening, the preacher, which was Floyd McClung, some of you may know him from YWAM, the preacher said, "If you want to give your life to God, come to the front." And before I knew it, I was there. And everything changed for me that day. And this was 1995, and now it's 2017. And it is the greatest thing to know that we know the living God, and that He changes our lives, and that we understand that this life is actually not about this life, but this life is about the next life. And I am so privileged to be able to tell people about this God. And we are trusting with you to share what God has done in your life with the people around you, because it's such a powerful message to share. And I just had a revelation of that this morning. I just had a revelation while we were worshiping that we know this God, and so many people do not. And we are so privileged. We are so privileged. So I want to speak this morning about wisdom. And the title of the sermon is The Way to Wisdom. And I'd like to read a scary scripture. Only scary if you are around about my age or older, I think. So some of us here will relate. So Dong, we can move on to the next slide, please. Psalm 90, verse 10 and 12. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, so that we may get a heart of wisdom. This means, according to the Bible, I think I said this yesterday, I'm not sure. If you are around about 40, you are over halfway with your life. And if by reason of strength, if you are particularly strong, you might reach 80 or older. So I read the scripture and I went, God, I don't know. I only have 30 years left. What am I? Help me to do, to make the best of it. Because the previous 40, you know, I wasted some years, and I don't want to waste any more. I don't have much left. And I had to just calm myself down. But what I want to focus on is not how old we are or how old we are going to become, but that the Word of God says, teach me to number my days. Teach me how to live so that I may have a heart of wisdom. If we go to Proverbs, which I'm not even going to do today, if you know, do a search on wisdom. There are many scriptures, but Proverbs speaks about wisdom as the ultimate thing to have in this life. And I have learned that wisdom really is what we should seek after, what we should yearn after, because God has wisdom that He wants to give to us. So I want to read to you the next scripture, which is like poetry. Who of you enjoy poetry? Anybody here? Okay, some of us. I love poetry. I read poetry books. And I wrote a few poems myself, which I'm a little bit insecure about. But anyway, I read this in Job, and it describes wisdom. Let me read it, and then I'll speak about it. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, we have heard a rumor of it with our ears. God understands the way to it, and He knows its place. For He looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When He gave to the wind its weight and apportioned the waters by measure, when He made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then He saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out. And He said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. What I love about this piece of scripture is that it describes wisdom. It's like something that we are looking for. And it speaks about the wind and the rain and the elements of nature. And I see this picture in my mind. You have some beautiful woods here in England. I see a picture of a child running through the woods and looking for something. And I think this is just a figurative explanation of our lives and our journeys and how we are searching for wisdom. And often we face things and we have no answers. Does that happen to anyone? Ever? And we are searching for wisdom. And Job, I think Job was desperate for wisdom in his situation. And then after looking and searching, finally, we discover that wisdom begins, as we read in the Word of God, many, many scriptures about wisdom, with the fear of the Lord. Wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. And having the fear of God in our lives is something that we grow in and that we mature in the longer we journey with the Lord. And what I believe what this scripture is teaching us as well is that the wisdom that we look for is not to be found just anywhere. Have you noticed that the world has a lot of wisdom? I'm thinking about the conversation that Elmery and I had last night, and she spoke about a situation where a lady was needing wisdom concerning a challenge in her life, and all the other ladies around the table gave the wisdom that comes from books and magazines from the world. And God said to Elmery, just keep quiet. And finally, the person who needed the wisdom looked at Elmery and said, what do you say? And Elmery gave the wisdom that God would give for this situation. And this lady had a revelation. And what I'm hoping to achieve through this word this morning is for us to understand that wisdom lies with God and God only. I have seen so many mothers trying to raise their children on books. Any mums here? Such a challenge to stick to what that book tells you to do. And God knows our lives. and He wants to give us wisdom for our lives. But do you know what God wants us to do? And it says so in the Word of God. He wants us to ask. He wants us to ask. Why? Because He wants relationship with us. He wants us to engage with Him. Let me read the next scripture. Ruth 1, verse 15 to 17. This will sound very familiar to you because those who are married probably said this or something similar at the altar while you were having your wedding ceremony. But sometimes we forget that this had nothing to do with a wedding. It was not a wedding. These words were not exchanged between a man and a woman. It was two women. Let me read it there. Let me just give you the context. So, and I'm sure many of you have read through the book of Ruth. I encourage you to do so. It's like fiction. You know, some books read like fiction. I love those books. Not Leviticus. That does not read like fiction. I've been born again since 1995, as I shared with you, and I still, thanks David, I still haven't managed to read through Leviticus. I've tried many, many times. I cannot manage. I do not understand it. I once tried working out a sermon from Leviticus after about 6 hours with all the resources that I could find, all the explanations, all the commentaries. I gave up on Leviticus. So those who can preach from Leviticus, I really am so impressed by them. They are very clever. So Ruth was Naomi's daughter-in-law. Naomi had two sons, and she had two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah. And her husband, Naomi, went away from her people, from the Jews, and she was in a foreign country, and her husband died in this foreign country, and her two sons died, and she was left only with her two daughters-in-law. And she was very depressed. She was going through a very tough time, and she decided to go back to her country. And she had these two daughter-in-laws they were not Jewish women, and they were not from the Jews. And now she was going to leave, and it was hard times. Politically, it was hard times. People were suffering. And she was trying to greet and leave her two daughters-in-law who were supposed to remain there where they were. Let me read the scripture. And she said, this is Naomi, she's speaking to Ruth, and she says to Ruth, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." So she's telling Ruth, "Listen, Ruth, it makes no sense for you to go back with me to my country. There's famine, there's suffering. You are not Jewish. Stay with your people. Stay where it will make sense for you to be." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." Now I think about Ruth. I think about a young woman who now is planning to leave everything that she knows, everybody that she loves, everything that she's familiar with, to go with her old, bitter, depressed mother-in-law to her country where the suffering is even more. Where the suffering is even worse, and it makes no sense. Yet, Ruth makes a decision that seems foolish, that in the end serves her very well. If you go and you read towards the end of the story and how she met this amazing man and she married him, how God came through for her. She made a sacrifice that made no sense. My mind goes to Rahab. Rahab was in Jericho. She was a prostitute. She was a sinful woman. And Rahab, like everybody else, became aware of the fact that the Jews are coming and that they are going to invade Jericho. And they and the people said, the walls are too strong. There's no way that this can happen. But Rahab, the prostitute, understood something that no one else understood. She said, listen, this God that these people serve, I fear this God. And I better serve him. And she says to the spies, I will hide you. I will help you. And she becomes God's plan for them to take in to take the city. And she becomes, and the whole city is falling. The walls are crumbling. And Rahab and her family are not just saved. She becomes, Jesus comes from her bloodline, from her lineage. She had the fear of God. She had the understanding who this God is. The prostitute, sinful woman. God gave her wisdom beyond what one would expect. God gave Ruth wisdom beyond what one would expect she should have. Because they had the fear of the Lord. Ruth looked at her mother-in-law and she made a commitment in her heart. She made a sacrifice. She said, I will not just go with you. I will stick like glue. I will not leave you. She made a covenant with her mother-in-law because God gave her wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from the fear of the Lord. I look at my children and I see the relationship that they have with my husband, their dad, their father. I see when he speaks, they listen. I see that they respect his authority. I see that they fear his authority. They are not afraid of him. They are very confident with him. They sit on his lap. They hang on to him like David's little girl was just hanging on here while we were worshiping. They are all over him. They are comfortable with him. But when he speaks with the authority that he speaks with, like any dad should, they have a healthy fear. They have a healthy fear, and this is the safest place for them. The safest place for my children to be is with their father, who will protect them at any cost. But there's a fear, and it brings wisdom. It brings wisdom, and we need wisdom for our lives. And it is not in the books. And it is not out there in the world. And it definitely is not in the movies. Sometimes. But we need to turn to God. We need to turn to the Word of God. Let me read the next scripture there. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things. And it is extremely sick. Who can understand it fully and know its secret motives? I, the Lord, search and examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. We often have young people that we counsel. In Stellenbosch, there are many students. And the students and the young people, actually all kinds of people, love to tell us, I just want to follow my heart. I tell everybody, whatever you do, do not follow your heart. It is extremely sick. It is deceitful above all things. We have people who battle in their marriages. And they say, my heart is not in it any longer. I want to get a divorce. And we tell them, we have good news for you. You don't have to divorce because your heart is sick. Your heart is deceitful above all things. We cannot look to ourselves for wisdom. We can only look to God for wisdom. The Word of God says, God searches the heart. Have you ever asked God to show you your heart and then He does? It's not so nice, eh? It's not always the greatest thing to ask. I don't ask it often. I only ask it every now and again. And then I brace myself because sometimes God will really show us our hearts. And the Word of God says, do not trust your own heart. That is why I often, when we speak about marriage, which we did yesterday, when women say, I don't trust my husband. And I'm not necessarily referring to, I understand that there are men who cheat on their wives and that's a different scenario. But just, I don't trust his leadership. I don't know how to follow him. I don't trust him. And my answer is, well, that is okay. Can you trust God? Can you trust God? Yes, and often they say, I can. I say, go with that. Trust God. Pray for your husband. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not look toward your own heart. It is deceitful. But look to God and He will give you the wisdom that you need for your life. How? By asking when we are alone with God on our knees, by asking while we are driving to the workplace or busy with His covenant with us, and that we are the bride and that He is the bridegroom. And He says, come away with me, my beautiful one. I want to say this morning, to be able to get wisdom from God, we need relationship with God. We need to know Him. Can you trust someone that you do not know? No. Can you trust God before you know Him? Yes, according to the Word of God, we make a decision to trust in the Lord. But when do we really start trusting God? When we experience Him. The more we experience His faithfulness, the more we experience His goodness, the more we experience His voice and hearing Him, the more we are able to trust in Him and to draw from the wisdom. That is why we need to come away with the Lord. I said to someone the other day, if I think about my husband, it is the most intimate relationship that I have in my life is with my husband. And I hope it's the same for every married person here. There's no person in this world that I have had more intimacy with than with my husband. But there also is no person in this world that I had to wrestle with, not physically, that I had to have conversations with and work through things together than my husband. There's no person under the sun that I had so much conflict with in all of my life than with my husband. It's a relationship with many angles and many aspects, and it's very alive, and it's sometimes it's volatile and sometimes it's calm and peaceful, but it's very alive. And all of this is needed to have a relationship that is not dead. When a couple says to me, we don't even talk to each other anymore, I see a red light. Rather fight, but talk. Have conversation. Sort through things. Because this is a relationship. This is alive and well. And it's the same with God. Do you ever wrestle with God? That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Do you ever do what David does? God, why? God, you don't understand. God, I'm so depressed. I just want to die. God, where are you? We need to do that. This is relationship. And then we always see David ends with, be still, my soul, and know that He's God. But I know that You are God. But I know that You are good. But I know that You are real. I have learned in my journey with the Lord, if I need wisdom from God, I need to wrestle with Him. I need to cry with Him. I need to tell Him, this is intimacy. I need to come away with Him. I need to close the door. And if you have a door that you can close, you are privileged. If you have a house and a roof, you are privileged. I close the door, I go on my knees, and I wrestle, and I pour out everything that is within me, and I receive wisdom from God. How do I receive this wisdom? You know, I don't sit like this and then it falls on me. I've tried that. Doesn't really work for me. I just live my life and somehow I know what to do. Somehow I get through what I have to get through. And I cannot always explain it afterwards. I do not always know. All I know is I'm not doing this on my own. I am not doing this on my own. Anton is not doing it on his own. We are not doing it on our own. We have God. We have God. And He leads us and He guides us in a very real way. It's not easy. It's not always easy. No, it's not easy to live your life surrendered to the Lord. But He will give us everything that we need. Let me read the next scripture. Luke 1 verse 38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to Your word. And the angel departed from her. This is one of my favorite scriptures. You know, historians estimate that Mary was about 15 when this happened. 15. We are not sure. We know that she was young. She's never been with a man. An angel comes and he says to her, you will be pregnant. Her whole world, everything that she knew, everything that she ever understood, everything that her parents taught her, everything that she was expecting for her future, everything turned around in 1 minute, in one conversation. And now she has to respond to this. You know, God tells Moses, In a bush that burns, but I mean, he realizes this is a miracle. This is holy ground. This thing should go up in flames, but it doesn't. What is happening here? And God says, I want you to go to Pharaoh. And Moses says, No, I'm not going to do that. I cannot do that. That is too big a ask. I'm not going to go there. But not Mary. He says, you will be pregnant without being married. I mean, I would completely not find that acceptable. And she says, how is this going to happen? And the angel says, by the Holy Spirit. And then she says, well, then let it be unto me according to your word. This is powerful. This speaks about surrendering to God in a very radical way. I remember, and this is not even comparable to Mary, this is not even comparable to what some of you may go through or are going through, but I remember Anton telling me before we were even engaged that God showed him, I'm not sure whether he shared this yesterday, that God showed him that we are going to have 5 children, 3 boys and 2 girls. And I was fairly surprised by that. I was fine with 5 children. I was thinking perhaps he's a bit ambitious, and I was thinking perhaps he's really excited to get married, and now he's seeing all kinds of things that might not be real. But lo and behold, we had the 5 children God gave him. We had 5 names, and it all happened like that, and I remember feeling completely overwhelmed while trying to raise all these babies. And Anton was away often with ministry and things, and not feeling like. And we had a very small budget at a time. We actually had no money, and people had to bring nappies and all kinds of things. We had no electricity. We had small group in our house in the dark because we didn't have money for electricity, and so on and so forth. And I remember feeling really depressed, perhaps is a strong word, but just down in the dumps. And the Holy Spirit nudging me to remember that God said there was going to be 5 children. God also said that there was going to be hard times. And my response should be, let it be unto me according to your word. There was a word. The word said 5 children. There was a word. And I want to encourage you this morning. God has a word over your life. And usually we figure that word out as we are going, as we journey with the Lord. And it's I'm always the one to preach this. I'm actually so tired of it. But I am always the one to say, man, it's tough. It's hard. And the Bible never tells us that it is going to be easy. And our response should be, let it be unto me according to your word, God. If I have to move to London, leave all my family behind, leave everything that I know, like Ruth, to change everything, come to a new culture, because this is what you are saying, then God, let it be unto me according to your word. If I have to suffer for whatever reason, if I am sick, you are not healing me, God. I don't know what is happening. I don't understand. But let it be unto me according to your word. This is wisdom. Wisdom is to accept what God allows, what God, especially what makes no sense. And to say, God, I will trust in you with all of my heart. I will not lean on my own understanding. My own heart will deceive me. And God, I will surrender. I don't understand, but this I do understand. You will give me the wisdom that I need for my situation. We had a lady in our church in Stellenbosch today, a week ago, and she came to the front. She was diagnosed with a severe cancer. And I prayed over her and I said, God, will you give them wisdom? Will you give them understanding? Not what the world would give, what only you can give. And God is eager, just as parents. You know, we want to give our children what they need and what they want. We want to. And in the same way, God wants to give us what we need and what we want. What we want is often not what we should have, and therefore He won't give it. But He wants to bless us. And He doesn't want us to not to know what to do. He actually wants us to know what to do, because there's a relationship. And He feels strongly about it. Go and read the word and you will know this. Let me read the next scripture. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is God's promise. You don't have to fear. You don't. We had our staff devotion last week, which is where the leader of Shofar, which is Pastor Heinrich Titus, as from about 2 months ago, shares, and all the Shofar staff, all the pastors, and all the staff. We were doing streaming, so we could all watch it all over the world. And he said something so powerful. He said, there's nothing to panic about. We don't have to panic. I'm sorry, this has nothing to do with this, but I had such a laugh. We were listening to this, and the streaming, the connection was bad. And when he said, we don't have to panic, the word panic sort of went missing because of the streaming. And the girl next to me said, did he say we don't have to bend? She was so relieved. Everybody's banding, and the pastor said, we don't have to band. So yes, we don't have to band. It's okay. We don't have to do that. We also don't have to panic because God is in control of our lives. This is why David said, be still, my soul, and know that He is God. This is why God says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is why we teach, when you are so afraid or overwhelmed or depressed, but this goes for feeling overwhelmed as well. Just start worshiping God so that you can remember and realize again how great He is and how strong He is and how powerful He is and how small we are, and that He still intervenes in a very real way, and there's no need to fear and there is no need to panic. He is with us. I said to the singles yesterday, God is not surprised by the fact that you are single. He knew it before the foundations of the earth, that today on the, I don't know what the date is, the 7th of May 2017, you will be here and this will be your situation. He's not surprised by it. But He wants us to engage with Him. He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to pursue Him. He wants to be pursued. And when we do pursue Him, He does respond to us. Let me read what might be the last scripture. I'm not sure. Joshua 14, verse 9. So Moses swore an oath to me on that day, saying, be assured that the land on which your foot has walked will be an inheritance to you and to your children always, because you have followed the Lord my God completely. Don't you think that is powerful? You have followed the Lord my God completely. And wherever your foot shall tread, that becomes an inheritance. I am increasingly aware of the fact that we do not live for ourselves. I had a sermon recently in Stellenbosch and in Somerset West, and I spoke about family. They asked me specifically to speak about family. And what I kept on saying about family is that we should understand that me and my husband and my children, we are not here on this earth just for us to live a comfortable life. Not at all, not at all. We are here for God's kingdom, which means we should be accessible to others. We should have an open door policy. Does that challenge you? An open door policy. Yes, families should have their intimate times fairly often. But other than that, our doors should be open to the whosoever. And when they enter our presence and where who we are and where we live, they should encounter the Holy God who is alive within us. They should see a life that is lived, that works, that is filled with the principles that God teaches us. We are staying with Carlos and Elmery now, and it's the most amazing, beautiful thing. And I'm amazed just at how they are interacting with their children. And I can see, and Anton spoke about this yesterday, I can see order. I can see there is order. I can see Carlos is the head of the home. I can see Almery is coming alongside as the helper. I can see the children are doing well. They are content. They are full of the Holy Spirit. They are full of love. I can see each one in the home is taking up their responsibility. And I can see and I can hear from every story that they tell that they are reaching out to the neighbors on the left and the neighbors on the right and the neighbors behind them. They are living a life that will bring an inheritance to their children. It's a godly life. It's the good life that I spoke about yesterday, and it blesses me immensely. And I learn as I watch. And I know according to the scripture, where our foot shall tread. And I want to encourage you in the workplace. I know that some of you are tired. I know you think, man, these people will never see the Lord Jesus within me. They will never change. Their eyes will never open. I know some of you are, you look at your family and you think, are you deaf? Are you blind? Can you not see? The Word of God says, do not grow weary of doing good. Do not grow weary. In due time, you will reap. You will reap. Keep that relationship with God alive and well. My husband and I went through a stage in our marriage where we would never argue. We didn't argue. I mean, that was just amazing, about nothing ever. We also didn't really speak. We would be very polite. Good morning. Did you sleep well? Who's taking the kids? Come, we are going to eat now. But there was just nothing. Man, there was just nothing. And at some point, it became a massive problem. And at some point, I said to him, I want out. I don't want to be in this marriage anymore. And we had to desperately get some help. And we did. And we are very well. We are doing very well now. But there was nothing. And sometimes we are growing weary of doing good. And we leave God. You might come to church. Anton and I still lived. We did not cheat on each other. We were still in the same house. We still had some polite conversation. You can worship God, but there can be nothing. And that is not a good place to be. We should rather wrestle it through with God, because God wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you wisdom for your marriage. He wants to give you wisdom for your single status. He wants to give you wisdom with your children. He wants to give you wisdom in the workplace. He wants to give you wisdom as to how to reach out to a people who are not open to the gospel. He wants to give us wisdom, and we should ask him. And where our foot shall tread, that will become our inheritance. I'm so excited one day to stand before Jesus. I hope, please God, that he will tell me, well done, good and faithful servant. And then I would ask him, I don't know if this will be done in heaven, I have no idea, but perhaps there will be a screen. And perhaps he can show me the people that were influenced by my faithfulness, because I wouldn't know. And perhaps I could see those times when I really wanted to give up. It would be tragic, because I didn't give up. I carried on, and many were influenced. Many were influenced. Your life is there to influence others. Your life is there to influence others. You and I should be like that tree that I spoke about yesterday. I love that scripture. I speak about it all the time in Revelation. That bears fruit in and out of season. And the fruit is for the nations. So I know when I wake up in the morning, God, who is going to eat from me today? I don't really feel like it, but okay, God, please give me the strength. My husband will eat from me. My children will eat from me. The people in our church will eat from me. The beggar in the street will eat from me. The lady who lives with us will eat from me. The child who visits us and comes from a broken home will eat from me. I will be eaten today. And by the end of the day, I will be depleted. But you will give me strength. You will give me my full again. You will give me my wisdom again. So that tomorrow they can all eat from me again. And I want to encourage you. Ask God who God, where, give me wisdom. Amen. We can close our eyes. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that when we look for wisdom, you tell us where to look. You tell us where to find it, Lord. We thank you, God, that just like the relationship between a husband and a wife, there's always more to discover, Lord, more to explore. And that it has to be alive and well. And Father, we come to you this morning as a congregation, Father. And Father, we ask that by your grace, we will understand the fear of the Lord. We will understand that you are big and we are small. You are all powerful and we have no power. You are perfect, holy, and we are full of sin. But yet, we can partner with you. We can become one with you because Jesus died on that cross and he gave his life.